Hi, I'm Dan from Desert Island X. This episode features quizzer Jenny Ryan, who you'll know from being one of the chasers on the quiz show The Chase, though she's also done loads of other things like being on Celebrity MasterChef, which we talk about, and also X Factor Celebrity 2. Anyway, she's really funny and nice to talk to, but in one section we're talking about Tony Stark, you know, the guy that invented Iron Man in the Marvel sagas, and I realised later that I'd been calling him Tony Starks the whole time. And I only mention it because I think this is the sort of thing that would really annoy hardcore fans of the genre, so I don't want any complaints or threats about that, okay? Jenny didn't pick me up on it because she's nice. So I said it a lot. But what can I say? Sometimes I'm a dick as well. I think my confusion might be due to the fact that one of Ghostface Killah's pseudonyms is Tony Starks with an S at the end, but who knows? Anyway, look, if you can get over that huge error, then I'm sure you'll enjoy this episode. So why not go and subscribe and give us a rating? And don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at DicksPod. Okay, on with the show. Here's Desert Island Dicks with Jenny Ryan. Hi, I'm Dan Benedictus and welcome to Desert Island Dicks, the show that sees you marooned on a desert island after a plane crash with the worst people and worst things imaginable. Who they are and why they're a dick is up to our guest, and here to share their Desert Island Dicks with us today is quizzer Jenny Ryan. Hello.
Hello. Oh, it's lovely to be here, sunning myself on my desert island, enjoying the beautiful weather. It's no doubt raining, obviously.
Well, it's probably nice there because we haven't added any dicks to the island yet, but we'll find out those in due course. How are you doing this week? Has this been an easy task for you, or has it been a struggle?
It's been a struggle because the more I look into my own psyche, the more I realise I'm a lover, not a hater. I'm not a hateful person, and there's people that I will take a dislike to, and then I start to ameliorate that. So I think I'm an ameliorator, not a hater. So I'll always be trying to think, and we're just seeing the screen persona. Oh, they're probably really nice in real life. Or they did this, they did that. So I will always try and look at the nice things about somebody. So it's actually really difficult. Also, I don't want to get into a real life beef with anybody.
Yeah.
Particularly.
Well, I think that's the thing. I think that's what people who listen. Oh, so I've got a nice police car driving past at the minute. I think that's what people don't realise sometimes about when you're a guest on the podcast is obviously it's hard for people with a high profile to be rude about people in the public eye, you know, whereas people like
me. Don't
want
to burn any bridges. That's the thing. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to work it out.
Yeah.
In the end, I've got some no brainers.
Okay. Because I've been doing this for long enough now that I've started to get a little bit paranoid that one day I might meet people and people are just going to become an awful person. So I'm staying locked down forever now for the duration. For as long as I do this podcast, I'm staying in COVID rules.
It's the best way to avoid a street fight, really.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, great. Well, let's get stuck right into it then. Who's going to be your first choice for the island?
My first choice. Now, I kind of have wimped out a little bit on the other ones, but this is a real life person. Mm-hmm. It is someone I have worked with. Now, before I started on The Chase, mm-hmm. I asked my then partner to describe or to name the person on television who was the direct opposite of me. And within a second, he said, Joey Essex. Now, I've nothing against, you know, the TOWIE, the reality TV, that scripted reality stuff, because it's not for me, but I know it is entertainment for other people. And, you know, I've met people who have been on those shows and they're absolutely lovely. However, going back to that thing of me usually going, oh, they're probably really nice in real life. I was on Celebrity MasterChef last year, which is still feels like a weird thing for me to be able to say. I wouldn't have believed it a few years ago. And I was thrown in at the deep end as the captain of a task where we had to cook for, I think, 60 people in a tent on a cliff at Dover. And my team included Mr. Essex. And I'd kind of assumed that it was a bit of a persona. And when you get into that situation, you know, the nice cooperative side of you tends to come out. I've watched that show for many years and I thought, you know, everybody just knuckles down. Everybody gets the nose to the grindstone, gets stuff done that needs doing because you don't want to mess up the other people.
It's the
teamwork vibe. And that was true of everybody except for the man who's... I describe him as my nemesis. He's no idea he's my nemesis, but he is my nemesis. So I spent much of the time allocated to us to cook these 60 portions cajoling, bossing Joey about, trying to find things for him to do, then trying to explain to him how to do them, then watching him make a half-hearted attempt to do them before making an excuse as to why he couldn't do that task, and then having to find another task. So he took up half my time. And it was so exasperating, and it was excuse after excuse after excuse. And I just thought, it's not a put on this. He's just lazy. And he's not... Thankfully, the other two guys on my team were absolute, two of the hardest men who've existed in sport. We had Razor Ruddock and Dillian White, the heavyweight boxer. And those two lads were taking orders from me. I was trying to get them to do stuff, and they knuckled down. And at one point, Razor had to step in and very carefully explain to Joey how to fillet a fish. But he was wielding the knife in a rather intimidatory manner. And Joey actually did it, even though he complained that he was scared of fish and he hated fish and he hated the smell of fish and he wouldn't touch a fish. He wouldn't touch garlic, he wouldn't touch onions. There was so much he wouldn't do.
Man. And
it was the most frustrating... I've got PTSD about it. And I had no preconception about the guy before taking up this challenge. I thought, I take people as I find them and I want to give him a chance. And the fact that he put this additional workload onto everybody else just showed that he just doesn't seem to be a very nice person. So I'm just extrapolating that to being on this desert island. Right, we need to build a shelter, Joe. Oh, well, I'm scared of sand. I once got a splinter, so I can't go and pick wood. There's this point on the challenge where we asked him to peel some potatoes, and he peeled two potatoes and dropped them both in the bin, and then said he couldn't do it without dropping them in the bin.
Oh man, yeah, because it's not like you didn't know when you went on Celebrity MasterChef that there would be some cooking involved. It's not like you went on Mastermind and then they said, "Oh, by the way, could you knock us up, you know, a lovely chocolate ganache." You know, it's like, it's kind of the answers in the question. It's Celebrity MasterChef. So
you're going to be expected to touch some food and to work with other people. Yeah. Those are the two things that are guaranteed to happen if you're on that show.
And onion is in everything. You can't be scared of onion. That's like the basis of most savoury dishes, is like, start with an onion.
We didn't want to touch it and get smelly hands. I think that was the thing.
Well, I don't want to smell Joey Essex's hands. So, I mean, it's like, it wouldn't matter. You know, just pick it up.
Exactly. But so I think it was the disappointment of... it was such a letdown.
Yeah.
He wasn't supportive. He didn't see that everyone else was sweating. Literally, we were sweating away in this tent trying to cook all these meals. And that he was adding to the burden. I think someone who will always try and find a reason to not do something and to get somebody else to do it is the last person that I would want on that desert island. I want team players every day of the week. That's what I'm after.
Yeah.
And I think actually that's a theme with the three dicks I've picked.
Okay.
Is they're not team players.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, that would just be horrendous if you're sort of...
when there's someone like a grown-up, when you have to actually treat them like a child, it's one of the most frustrating things in the world. Because that's, I think often everyone sort of thinks as a child your life is better. But I think as a grown-up, most of the time I think it's easier. You know, like there's a lot fewer confrontations to get into and day-to-day squabbles because you've learned how to coexist a bit better. And,
yeah,
you know, it's not as frustrating. And then you get someone like that and you're like, oh my God, I feel like I'm in kindergarten again.
Yeah. How do you get through life? And I think the answer is probably money.
Yeah.
Without, you know, you wouldn't really get along like that if you didn't have the money to pay other people to do stuff. Mm. There's just zero work ethic. And it's ignorance is no excuse. I don't know how to do that. You can get away with that when you're four.
Yeah, yeah. Well, even now, like I'd say to my son, I was like, no, now you're old enough to learn how to do this. Let's do it together and then I can sit down for longer and you can just do something on your own. But, yeah, it's that sort of... Because sometimes with, like, celebrities, you kind of think, well, like, maybe you've just got lazy over time. But as long as you can do something else a bit better, you know, maybe we can overlook that. But if you're just famous for being yourself and saying silly things and you're also like that, there's not a lot to sort of fall back on and kind of defend you with, is there? It's like,
no,
you know, this is your public persona and you can't do anything in real life, so what is the point of you
famous for your incompetence? Is I mean, it gets you into politics these
days. I was just gonna say,
I mean, that's possibly the next step for old Joe. Is running for public office. Imagine your whole reason for being in the public eye is for being yourself, and that's you. It's reality. That is you. And then it turns out that you are an arse, really.
Yeah.
It's just a selfishness of thinking you can get through life like that.
Exactly. And I find that, you know, despite hosting this podcast, you know, it's nice to be surprised about... Sometimes you meet someone... in my work, I've met people that I've previously disliked or whatever, musicians that I can't stand. And when you meet them, it's always better if they're nice because you're like, all right, OK, I hate your music, but actually, you know, you're just doing your thing. It's not for me, but you're all right. You're a decent person. So that makes me hate you less. And when your song comes on next, I'll hate it a bit less. You know, so generally, I want to like everyone in the world. I want to be a positive person. But yeah, when they just prove you right, it like doubles the amount you dislike them, because then you've got like factual evidence to back it up with.
Absolutely. You know that 99% of your irrational hatreds are irrational.
Mm.
You see someone on the screen, you switch them off because you're just so annoyed by their existence and you're not really sure why.
Yeah,
and you know that is probably, if you went for a beer with them, or you know they came round and had a cup of tea, you'd be you're a human being.
Yeah,
you know your product is not for me, but doesn't mean to say we can't coexist on a human level. I always tend to think of people like that, and 99% of the time, you're absolutely right. There's that 1%. When you double down on it, I was absolutely right to dislike you in the first place.
Yeah, and now I've got empirical evidence and I can actually give you, you know, bullet points of why you're a complete dick. Well, that's good. I like it when there's like actual, you know, concrete rationale behind these things. So that's good. And he's on the island with you, winding everyone up, being useless. I mean... Yeah, maybe you could use them for firewood eventually. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's too violent.
But food.
Yeah. Yeah. He'd probably be quite bland given his tastes. You know, I don't like anything interesting. So he'd need a lot of seasoning. But, you know, in a pinch, it's flesh on the barbecue. So fair enough.
Absolutely. You've got to see the best in people, and, you know, grilled Joey might be the best we can get out of him. Not advocating cannibalism unless it's extreme circumstances.
Well, these are extreme circumstances, Jimmy. Yeah. It's fine. I mean, if I found you eating Joey Essex tomorrow, I imagine, you know, the media would have a field day. But, you know, in a pinch, as I say, any port in a storm. So I think it's fine. Okay, well, let's find out who's going to be joining him. Who's your next choice for the island?
My next choice, this could be a bit divisive,
okay,
but also it is a wimp out because it's a fictional character. My choice is Tony Stark from the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay, yeah. Why have you picked him?
Because it's all his fault. He's just so arrogant, and he doesn't take responsibility. He's got that sort of entitled state of mind from Dick Number One, that you know, he can do what he wants, and if he wants to, you know, carry on and do what he likes or not do something just because he doesn't want to do it, it must go for everybody. There's a lot of moments. I've rewatched the Marvel Cinematic Universe during the lockdown with my mum because she asked to watch all the films. We've watched them all in sequence, with occasional input from my stepdad, who's not really an action adventure comic book film kind of guy. But every time he came in, he would get furious when Tony Stark was on. He was like, "That arsehole! Why does anybody like him?" And I know that some people hero worship him and think Iron Man is the best of the heroes.
Okay.
When he's this really arrogant, deeply unpleasant playboy millionaire philanthropist or billionaire. I think he is. That's how he self describes. Not much of the philanthropy when he's creating Ultron, who ends up trying to destroy the planet and kills thousands of people in Sokovia. And yeah, I've got quite into it. But he's got this pure arrogance of being brought up incredibly rich, incredibly white, incredibly American patriot. And even when he has his worldview challenged, the point of his story arc in the Iron Man films is that his dad made the family money out of arms dealing.
Wholesome.
And he finds out quite quickly in the first film how morally reprehensible it is in the modern era to be still profiteering out of people's lives. So he has that story up, but it doesn't make him a nicer person. It just means that he slightly changes the direction of his company. And by doing so, he creates situations that put the entire universe in peril. And he's caused the death of tens of thousands of people directly.
Yeah. And it's not like you just went, "Oh God, weapons are bad. Here's all my money, UNICEF. Go and do something good. You know, let's end poverty." You just went, "I'm going to build a different kind of weapon."
It's a defense system.
Yeah, I mean, you can say that about like every kind of weapon. I've only seen the Iron Man films. I haven't seen the Marvel Universe films. But yeah, it's that sort of total arrogance that you talk about. It's completely right, and that sort of, you know, it's that kind of history is written by the victors. It's like you're still just a white man blowing loads of stuff up. Like there's no sort of moral compass here. It's just that you're not dead, so it's okay. There's no sort of, figuring out the balance of the rest of the morals. It's just you're okay, so it must be fine. And then at one point the army are going, "We want this suit," and you're like, no, it's my suit. I'm in charge." And it's like, "Well, just don't build the suit." Or put all your wealth into, you know, learning how to sort of make crops grow in Africa. Like, there you go, do that. Don't just build a different weapon.
He's an absolute genius. He could have cured cancer.
Yeah.
He could have done it. He had the money and the brains and the resources to immediately... It's like, I hate Batman as well.
Yeah, same deal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's that single-minded, psychopathic arrogance. Of not really just seeing the numbers of things. And at least if you're looking at the Marvel films, a lot of the other heroes do have a significant moral journey, or they really grapple with the moral dilemmas of, you know, it upsets a lot of them that one person dies, let alone thousands.
Yeah.
They will get quite emotional about it and then see it as a reason for changing themselves. The Hulk doesn't even want to, you know, Bruce Banner doesn't want to become the Hulk because of the lack of control, whereas Tony Stark's making all this technology and just flinging it out there. "I'm just going to whiz around the world in this suit with lasers that can melt things, you insane human being. but, I would recommend watching the rest of the Marvel films because all the other characters are better and more interesting than Tony Stark. And people absolutely look up to him. And they brought out Captain America Civil War, and it was like, are you on Team Iron Man or Team Captain America? I'm like, no dilemma there whatsoever. I don't even know what the situation's going to be, but I'm Team Cap because he actually, he weighs things up in a kind of moral compass way in which Tony doesn't.
I wonder if people like Iron Man just because the rest of them, you're like, okay, if I want to think in a sort of playground kind of scenario, if I want to think who I'm going to be, well, the Hulk, I'd like his power, but I don't really want to turn into a big green thing. Whereas Tony Stark's, you're like, well, he's got a suit that I can change into and it's quite fun, it's a fun toy. So maybe people identify with that. But I think it's like this sort of, you see it in politics a lot. It's like someone who's immensely privileged with not that much experience in world affairs thinks, well, I can just sort this out. I don't know what's going on here. I've got no experience in running the transport or the healthcare system of this country, but it can't be that difficult. Move aside now. Oh, I've gone and ballsed everything up. But don't worry, someone else will take care of that. What's the next big thing? You've been in power for too long that you haven't seen the real world, and you just think that by dint of your privilege, everything is easy to sort out.
And it is now. We're seeing it in US and UK politics. We're getting into it now, guys. it's that the pure arrogance of making a mistake, but not admitting a mistake was made. Definitely not by you. Let's just move on to the next without putting your hands up to anything.
Yeah.
That's 100% Tony Stark. He doesn't even acknowledge that really the events after Age of Ultron, he's responsible for this huge artificial intelligence that thinks the best thing for the world. Whenever an evil thing is created by human intelligence, it always goes to the logical conclusion that, well, best thing for the planet, wipe out all the humans, they're evil. Yeah. That actually makes perfect sense because the planet's in a terrible state because of us. They could be fixing things, but yeah. Mm. So he never admits that that was his fault or anything after that resulted from that was his fault. And you do see that I don't see a problem with that. Someone else came up with the original idea, and just because I implemented it doesn't mean that I've made any mistake anywhere ever, so I'm not resigning.
Yeah.
I want to see more resignations. That's what I miss resignations. Oh, do you remember?
Oh, I love them. Yeah. It's like, oh wait, there's a cat. Oh, he's got his wife with him. He's going down.
I put the decimal point in the wrong place in the report, so I must resign in shame. Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
there was a headline in the papers about, my extramarital whatevers. I must resign in disgrace. Those were the days. Nobody resigns now.
It's funny.
Cling on for dear life.
It's like at school when, they go, okay, well, we've got this chart. If you do something bad, you get a black mark on this side, you get a gold star. And then there's always the kid that just found out it was totally meaningless. And then once they found out that actually, you didn't have to do anything because of this meaningless sticker, you're impervious and the system broke down. It's like that with politics. They just go, are you going to resign? Like, no. Well, but we're all angry and the papers are angry and everyone's angry. Like,
yeah, but you can't fire me.
Can't do anything. And you go, we've got nothing. Fuck. Oh, you're still in power. Damn it. And they just pulled the curtain away. And you go, I didn't realise so much of it was based on being a nice human being at some point.
Yeah. Accountability, where has it gone?
Yeah. And on a practical level, Tony Stark's on the island. I mean, most of the time he's going to be sodding off in a cave somewhere, working on his next machine, which, might get you saved, but he might just fuck off on his own and fly out with his rocket boots at some point, using up all the resources. You're going to wake up one day, look out, go, where's the sea gone? And he's just used all of the water.
He's boiled it.
Yeah, he's just boiled it for some cooling mechanism in his suit.
And so, he sold all the salt.
Yeah.
So actually, we're probably building up a nice economy on our island.
Yeah, but you can't leave then because you're so integral to the economy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's a very, very fine choice. Yeah, he's a dick, Tony Stark.
He's an absolute arsehole. And don't get me started. Why is Pepper having anything to do with him? Like, he signs over some of the company to her. You don't have to marry him after that. You've got it in writing. You don't have to have anything to do with him. Just walk away. Just do the CEO thing.
Yeah.
If it's about the money. You can't... Oh, you know, the heart's a funny thing, but crikey. He's hard to like.
Yeah.
Although some people like him, and I think that's probably... It's something I should ask people when I first meet them. Who's your favourite Marvel superhero? And if they say Iron Man, I'm out. I'm done.
But I think they just like the stuff, though. They see he's got a load of cars, loads of watches, a big house. He's got a big, fiery, flying suit. You know, people just like the gadgets. It's like, I don't think they... I don't know. Well, I don't know. As I say, I haven't watched the films. I've only seen Iron Man. But
if you don't say that you want to be Captain Marvel... then you're a maniac, because she's the most powerful thing in the universe.
Okay,
she's got all the superpowers.
Better.
She's amazing.
That sounds like a slightly jump the shark moment when they went, what's the new one going to have? Everything.
Well, that's they call that OP when you talk about superhero powers or gaming powers. Oh, overpowered.
Okay.
And I think that's why they brought her and Doctor Strange in quite late in the sequence, because they're just... what's the point of anyone else? So I'll just come along and sort it all out between them. One's got magic, one can fly and basically have anyone in a fight. There you go, done.
Nice. I like that when they're dishing out the superpowers. What's yours? I want to have anyone in a fight. There you go.
Hey,
what's your name? Fight Man.
Outside Now, that's what he's called.
Fair enough. Okay, also I love the idea of you sitting between Joey Essex, someone as thick as Joey Essex and someone as bright but malevolent as Tony Stark's, just, and you're sitting in the middle trying to sort of negotiate and peacekeep. Just, oh man, can you imagine the conversations?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's find out who's going to join those two then. Who's your third choice?
It's not only a fictional character, it's not even a human.
Okay.
My final choice is, it's another of my televisual nemeses. Mm-hmm. It's Bing.
Yes. Oh, Bing.
Bing.
God.
Who, I could tell you're a parent of a small child, because...
every parent listening to this is cheering right now.
Honestly. There are such great shows available for preschoolers. And the fact that Bing is being churned out with the most miserable, whiny little main character who's supposed to be your hero. Bing, this little rabbit who can't do anything for itself...
yeah.
It's just, just the most incompetent, and surrounded by enablers. This is it. My choices are writ large. It's people who are surrounded by enablers who allow them to continue incompetence rather than learning anything or doing anything for themselves, becoming self-sufficient. And not only that, Bing has got Flop. Flop's his carer, who seems to be a toy, which is a bit weird.
Yeah.
Mark Rylance and David Threlfall have got themselves involved in this shenanigans, right? I'm shamed for them. They're fine actors. Why have they got themselves into this trap? Get yourself on Hey Dougie. Now that's a quality television program for children and adults alike.
Yeah, exactly. I was so, you know, when I first had my son, and I kind of just thought that's what kids' TV was like. I just thought it's all going to be shit, so you might as well just bed in and learn to accept it. And then I found things like Hey Dougie, there's one called Sarah and Duck I'm a big fan of.
Yeah.
And you went, oh, these are funny, they're interesting, they're like slightly surreal, you know. And then Bing comes along and you're like, fuck it, what are you doing, Bing? And everything he says is like, even if he says something good, it sounds like a moan. He'll be like, we went to the park today and I kicked my football. You think, God, what is wrong with this rabbit?
It's a retrograde step in terms of children's programmes. It's infantilising our infants is what it is. Expect more.
Absolutely. And for something that's on the BBC as well, very bad grammar and language. He always sort of uses the wrong past tense. He's like, I picked it up, or something like that. Where he's like, I can't think of any good examples now. Anyway, he can't use the past tense properly. And
that's not educational.
No. And also, they never, there's never sort of a lesson, like on Sesame Street or something. It might be that, you know, a kid threw something and it broke and then he was upset. And then they go, well, listen, you know, this is what happens when you throw something, you know, so you've got to be careful with stuff because, you know, maybe we can fix it. But, you know, you've got to, and this, everything happens to Bing. He goes, oh, I threw a phone in the toilet. And they're like, don't worry, Bing, we all do stupid things. And you're like, no,
yeah,
I've got to get a new phone now. I'm working from home. It's not as hard enough as it is. And now I've lost all my contacts. I didn't back it up to the cloud recently. What am I going to do, Bing? Sort it out. You're not going to buy a new one.
Your actions have consequences.
Yeah, and that's a useful lesson for children. It's not always easy, but like, I don't mean like really rub it in the whole time, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't mean to be hard.
Yeah,
but
tell him off, give him a biscuit afterwards, you know. But like, yeah, he's just awful.
Yeah, I've had this rage for a few, I think it was at least 4 years since I had a few days helping my best friend, whose daughter I am godmother to, out with a bit of childcare. I had a couple of days free, so I was in the house with her for the half day she wasn't in nursery, and she likes a bit of TV, so we watched a nice bit of Hey Dougie every day, bit mm-hmm. of Peppa Pig. I still like Peppa Pig.
Yeah,
I think it's a classic of its genre, and she was, oh, I want to watch Bing, and watch this episode where Bing wets himself. It might be Pando who wets himself.
They're the same.
And again, there was no consequence to it. It was just like, oh, that happens.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, but I thought the lesson would be about tell a grown-up when you think that you need the toilet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or there needed to be some, it was just, and it was, and the tone of it is just so, Bing is so whingy, and then Flop comes in and goes, oh, it's all right, we'll just sort it out because we're in charge.
Yeah.
That's how Joey Essexes are formed.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't be surprised if it turns out that Bing was like 27 or something, and he's just in this suspended state of animation because he's been so mollycoddled. I got this shock the other day because normally, they, you know, like CBeebies, it's, you know, very routine because, you know, it's always the same every day and that's what you want. And so things coincide at different points and you get used to sort of the stuff that's on earlier, obviously, is more babyish because you're up earlier with the babies. And nowadays, Bing's one of the earliest one. So we tend to miss it now. My son's a bit older. But the other day, it was about 9:30 or something in the morning on a Saturday. Turn on the telly, it's sodding Bing is on. They must have moved him in the schedule. So I thought, now we always escape Bing. And he's fucking there still.
He's following you around.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm glad to have your backing on Bing. Because it does feel, it felt a little bit, you know, cold-hearted going for a children's rabbit. But he is the worst one.
He has been picked before, and with good reason. He's a popular choice. And as we record this, a very kind listener is working out a spreadsheet for us. He's volunteered to compile a spreadsheet of everyone and everything picked on this island. And at some point I'll be able to give you the stats, but he's not far behind Piers Morgan, I think, is Bing. So, I mean, the hatred is real. And it's one of those where I kind of think, anyone listening who hasn't seen him, sometimes you go, oh, you've got to watch this just to get a sense of it. Just don't. Just you'll
no,
see
don't
it one
bother.
Day. Just don't.
Yeah. I mean, it was close for me. If I was picking fictional cartoon animals, I could have picked Jerry from Tom and Jerry.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Arse. Absolute arse. Sets Tom up to fail every time. Tom's just doing his job. Come on. But Bing's just that ineffectual sort of, someone else will deal with this. Someone else will clean up my mess. I'm a politician.
If you met a child like Bing, you'd be like, if your friend had a kid that was like Bing, you'd come away just going, oh my god, they like,
I'm,
I don't know,
disappointed
how
in you as a parent.
Yeah absolutely.
I don't even have kids, and it still sticks with me that the 4 years ago, basically 3 days of watching Bing, and it's a PTSD situation for me.
I can
visualize every moment of it.
I just love the thought of like Iron Man and Bing and Joey Essex on the island together. It's such a great
Iron
image.
Bing.
No, don't let him near the suit. What are you doing? I broke the suit. And then Tony Stark's going, is this all right? No, it's not all right, Bing. And killing Bing. So it might be okay in the end.
roast rabbit. I mean, that's not cannibalism.
No, that's true.
Even if it's an anthropomorphic rabbit.
I think that's fine. Okay. Now, Jenny, mercifully, amongst the wreckage of the plane, there was some food and drink left over. Unfortunately for you, it's your least favourite food and drink in the world. What are they and why are they so bad?
I'm terrible with food because I pretty much like everything. The food I don't like is liver. But if you had liver there, you know what I'd do? I'd make it into pate. Yeah. I like pate. I like the flavour of liver. It's just the texture of the product itself. So I would do something with it. So this was the hardest thing to choose. Because I will make the best of a bad job, but I'm traumatised still from childhood by carob.
Carob, yes. Now, I haven't had this, but I know friends who have talked about it from their childhood. For those who aren't familiar with it, give us a little description.
So carob is an alleged chocolate replacement. Alleged. Carob is actually, if you have those chocolate treats for dogs, because dogs can't have chocolate because it's the theobromide or whatever that they're intolerant of, and it probably killed them. So this is what you would give a dog. And there was a strong period during, I think, the 70s and 80s where parents would try to fob their children off with a bag of carob buttons rather than a bag of chocolate buttons. And every time, they get me every time. I think it's a strong incentive for me as a very small child to learn to read. So I could read when I was three, and I think it was mostly because I wanted to be able to tell when they were trying to fob me off with carob from the health food shop. Just, it was supposed to be some healthy alternative and to stop you getting hooked on sugar or whatever, and it just made you adore chocolate even more. Because it's this powdery, dry, brown stuff that's got a very vague idea of chocolate about it, but it really is not. And I don't think there's anything worse in food than total disappointment. Like that when you think you're biting into a chip and it's actually some badly cooked parsnip in a roast.
Yeah. I think sort of getting very close to something that you really like and finding out it's not is just, it's such a disappointment, isn't it? And like,
yeah,
it's a good choice. I think, all these things, it's like, if you're going to just be healthy about it, just give them the bad thing less and let them enjoy it. It's like, you know, just have smaller amounts of the bad thing, you know. It's like,
yeah.
And also with kids, I always think, like with chocolate and stuff, you know, I don't want to give them chocolate all the time, but it's like, I drink too much. You know, I'll go to the pub if I can. Kids don't have the pub, so all they've got is chocolate. So occasionally they need a bit of that, you know, same as daddy needs a drink now and again.
Yeah, and you at least give them something high quality so they know to appreciate.
Yeah.
You know, you'll get the most out of, you know, a nice bit of high quality chocolate, just a little square of that is better than a million carobs.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just the sort of weird deceitful nature of it, or like, because also I don't think there's anyone, it's not like, I don't know, like dark, you know, some people like very, very dark chocolate, and I don't find that particularly enjoyable. So if that's all that's on offer, I'm like, well, that won't scratch the chocolate itch, so I'm happy to not have that. No one's saying they like carob, so it's failed. It's not like, oh, I like a bitter chocolate, I don't. You know, who likes carob? Nobody fucking likes it. So just give up, you've lost. It's not the same. Pick a new thing.
No, it doesn't work as a chocolate replacement. It doesn't work as a chocolate alternative because if you don't like chocolate, why are you going to touch carob?
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work except for dogs.
Yeah.
So just save it for the dogs.
Yeah, and dogs eat all kinds of shit anyway, so it's not like they're, you know, just because they eat it doesn't mean it's nice. I mean, they do eat shit sometimes, you know, so what do they know, idiots?
It was always super disappointing because we'd go to, there was a health food stall in the market hall in Bolton, and there were some great, I knew there were some really nice things there. They did dried banana chips, and they made sarsaparilla, like from the cordial there, and you had a little, they gave you a little glass and you drank it there and then. They had brilliant, brilliant things. Best of all, they had panda licorice.
I remember beautiful. Those, yeah.
Lovely stuff. It was like a proto Holland and Barrett, this place, but with sarsaparilla. And of all the things you could get me from there, a bag of carob buttons was I'd rather have, you know, some multivitamins.
Yeah.
Chew on them.
Definitely.
That'd be better.
Definitely. Yeah, health food shops. I mean, Holland and Barrett still exists, obviously. But I think there used to be, a very different type of one. Because Holland and Barrett, mainly it's, like, supplements and stuff, isn't it? But I remember health food shops when I was young, and it was, like, there was a really distinct smell, almost like you'd go in there and it was, like, unmistakable. And, yeah, there's always the jar of things on the pretend sweets on the counter. Maybe, like, you know, I could sort of get into the aniseed balls. They were right. And then there were these weird twig things. And I was like, I don't know what that is. Tried that once because it looked interesting. Never again. And then after a while, you just stop asking. So, yeah, and that on an island.
Yeah, bring back those kind of, shop. There was always something interesting, at least.
Yeah.
You know, it was experimental. And now you go in and it is all, you know, protein powders and...
Yeah.
And
those huge tubs of dust and things like that, yeah.
Yeah, none of that. I mean, that could be on there, just tubs of protein powder.
Yeah.
Rather than food. Yeah. No thanks.
None of the fun, like all of one particular ingredient, but nothing actually fun or nothing for the soul, you know. Everything for the body, nothing for the soul.
Yeah, you're going to have all your, you're going to have all your nutrients and you're not going to die and you're going to feel full, but at what cost?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel the same about jogging. It keeps you alive, but at what cost?
Fair enough. Yeah. And so what will you be washing down the carib with? What's your drink choice?
It's on a very, very similar vein. I really don't like the taste of sweeteners in general.
Yes.
And I don't like the fact that nowadays even full-fat drinks are being watered down with sweeteners. San Pellegrino's gone now. I can't drink that anymore because I can just taste the sweetener in it. Just put less sugar in it or give us a smaller can. That's what I say. So the worst of them all for me is a Diet Cola. And that, for me, is only vaguely tolerable if it is ice cold.
Yeah.
So the worst thing for me would be a lot of room temperature Diet Coke. Because what's the point?
Yeah.
Again, it gives you a slight cola flavour and it's healthier for you, but at what cost? At zero joy.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Why do some people like it? What's wrong with them?
I don't even know if it is better for you, though, is it? Because, like, those sweet... No. I mean, sugar, at least, it is, like, a natural thing once, you know? I mean, it is a sort of refined and processed, and obviously it is bad and addictive in lots of ways. But I don't think those, like, aspartame and things like that, I don't think they're good for you either. It's like... And I've said this on the podcast before. At my workplace, we used to have, like, free fizzy drinks in these fridges. And most people sort of take them or leave them. But the people who drank Diet Coke were, like, hooked on the Diet Coke.
Yeah.
And if it had run out or hadn't been restocked overnight or whatever, they would be clucking. They were, like, smackheads, basically, waiting for a fix.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. Like, more than people miss coffee. And I just thought, what is in there? Because people were just, like, you could see them, like, scratching at themselves waiting for the Diet Coke. It's nuts.
It's absolutely true. And I'm led to believe from the reading I've done that actually having those kind of sweeteners increases your sweet tooth, increases your craving for sweet things, so you're having to continually try to replace it. Whereas if you have something that's real sugar, that completely satiates the craving and it's gone away for the normal amount of time, as long as you're not just, you know, having ridiculous amounts of sugar. So one can of Coke will probably mean if you just have that, you know, a couple of times a week, you probably won't want any more than that. You think it's too sweet for you. But if you're having a Diet Coke, you think, oh, it's good for me, I'll have another one. That means you're three times the craving for sugar, and you're still not having the sugar, so you're just upping the ante. It is like a drug addiction.
Yeah.
So you are better off in many cases, like having a sugar-free chocolate alternative. You're better off having a small amount of the real stuff than lots and lots of the horrible replacement. So it is weird. You're absolutely right. I've seen those people who drink nothing but Diet Coke, and they've always got one on the go.
And, like, at times when no one else would drink, I mean, now and again, if you're really hungover, you might have a Coke quite early in the day, but I mean, they're drinking on a daily basis, like a Diet Coke at 9 a.m. or something. And you think, this is, I don't know, man.
Yeah, you'd have a word with them if it was Red Bull.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's the same sort of principle of, are you all right, mate?
Yeah.
You're not having a glass of whiskey at that time of the morning.
No.
So
I mean, hardly ever, at least, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think if you're going
to
do it...
Bing's on. Yeah. You're completely entitled to have a glass of whiskey at 9 a.m.
I think it's okay if you're still up from the night before, then it's okay. So that's why I make sure to do all that's my legit morning drinking. But, you know, as I always say, if you're going to do something wrong, do it right. And Diet Coke and Caribou are a perfect example of doing wrong, you know.
Yeah. I'd rather have nothing.
Yeah. Quite right. Now, Jenny, fortunately, you won't be without entertainment on the island. The plane's entertainment system continues to work, but just your luck, it only has two working settings. One's your least favourite film of all time, and the other is your least favourite song. What are they and why?
Again, I'm terrible for ameliorating things. So I will find the redeeming features in films, and I like a lot of terrible films that other people hate because they are bad. I like them for the kitsch factor, and just in an ironic kind of way. It's tough. This has been brutal trying to find out a film that I hate that much and that I've actually watched, because I've got to the point now where I just switch them off if I'm not enjoying them. But I've worked out that the films I like the least are the ones that I've been made to watch.
Okay.
Everybody, you know, you're like, oh, you love this film, let me put it on for you. And they sit there the whole time watching it.
Oh, yeah, I hate the pressure.
God, this is dreadful. And, you know, I had an ex-boyfriend years and years and years ago who was obsessed with Jean-Claude Van Damme. So I've seen all of Jean-Claude Van Damme's films up till about 2002.
Wow, that's way more than you need to have seen, I think.
Yeah, those are up there. And I think probably the worst experience, though, which is burned into my mind, was sitting around with three friends who all said, you must watch this film, it's great, you'll love it. And it's called The Boondock Saints. And if you've not seen it, it's sort of an action shooty crime thriller romp set in the Boston Irish American community. And there's just a lot of willful shooting about, weird plot, no one knows really what's happening. And the only light relief is when Willem Dafoe just comes in and choose the scenery for 3 minutes and then goes away for 20 minutes. You're like, come back, you're the only thing that's making this a redeeming feature.
Yeah.
So I'm watching this. It has the reason one of my friends really liked it is she's obsessed with Norman Reedus, who's in The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
So she thinks it's a wonderful film just because he's in it. And it's, at best, it's a B-movie with very little plot and a lot of shooting, which is kind of not... That's out with my taste arena. I'm putting it as politely as possible. But I gave it a chance. But the whole way through, all three of them were kind of just looking at me like, she's enjoying this. And I'm like, I'm really not enjoying this. It's just a lot of willful violence for no real end. I mean, it's why I stopped watching The Walking Dead, because there was just a lot of violence with no reason.
Yeah.
And they killed off two of my favourite characters. Like, I'm out now. There was too much it became like violence porn.
Yeah.
So I did one. I literally walked out of the room, and it was with the same three people. I was watching The Walking Dead. Like, I'm out now. We've sat through this for 6 series, and I'm gone. I'm done. I've invested all this time. Bye.
Well, I watched the trailer for this. I haven't seen the whole film, but I watched the trailer, and it's pretty extraordinary. I mean, it looks like it was made sometime in the 80s. I've just looked it up, and it was 1999. So it looks way too recent for it to be like it looks, basically. I mean, in the trailer even, like, the trailer, you know, they've got the silly voiceover and it's all... It almost looks like a spoof because it's so kind of ridiculous. I mean, in the trailer, there were two scenes where a guy just sort of stands there looking moody, lighting a cigarette, and nothing else happens in that clip. It's just... There's a lot of smoking for no reason in it. And, like, it's like a really... It's sort of like a 14-year-old's idea of what was cool... But a 14-year-old in like the mid-90s or something.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's only 20 years old. And the weird thing is, so looking it up now, On IMDb, it's got 7.8 out of 10. So that's sort of not bad. Rotten Tomatoes, 25%.
That's more realistic, I think, as a measure when you're looking at Rotten Tomatoes.
But then Google users, 91% like this film. So, I mean, it's very divisive, which, I mean, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Probably it's a bad thing if you're trying to make an entertaining film. it just looks like it's like one huge joke. And Willem Dafoe's acting, there's a lot of points where I don't know why someone's got their top off, but there's a lot of men with their top off. But like, yeah. they're not.
But that links in with Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay.
That's part of the drinking game. Every time there's a needless shirt off hunky man situation, drink it. Yeah. So there probably is a great drinking game to do with Boondock Saints.
Yeah. Every time they shoot a gun, do a shot. I mean.
Oh, you're dead. Sorry. Alcohol poisoning immediately.
Yeah. It looks terrible. And also just something that, I don't know, it's just. I think if it starts off looking that bad, you're only going to find more flaws in it as you watch it for eternity on the island.
Yeah. Although I probably would just get really into it and become my Bible and a cult classic, and I would learn every line of dialogue. And I would get Tony Stark to invent me a video camera, and then I could do a fan remake of it,
yeah.
Shot by shot. Me and Bing as fraternal twins.
I bet Joey Essex would love it, though. He'd just be sitting there, oh, yeah, look, watch this bit where he's going to smack him right in the face. No, and rewinding it constantly for you to, like, see it again in slow-mo or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is probably one of his favourite films.
I did quite want to watch it now. Having seen the trailer, it looks like one of those so bad it's good sort of things. But also, I haven't got that much time in my personal life to watch things that are shit. So, you know, I'm just going to not bother.
Yeah, I mean, if you did have time to spare, I would say watch it, but don't expect an awful lot from a film that has Ron Jeremy in the cast.
Oh, God. That's not good. It feels like it was, yeah, they did a focus group of men at a pub and said, what do you want in a film? And this is what came out. Yeah, put Ron Jeremy in it. He's a legend.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking at the cast list, and there's no main female character in it.
No.
So Alison Bechdel is turning in a... She's not dead, but she'd be turning in a grave if she was dead. Because not only there's no female characters to talk about other men, there are just no female characters.
Wow. Okay.
Marvellous.
And to distract yourself from that, what would your song choice be?
I bet Joey Essex loves this. All Summer Long by Kid Rock.
Oh,
I bet,
man.
That's not the first time that's been chosen.
I don't think so.
Because I think there's a special place in hell for needless and disrespectful cover versions, and this is a double. It's a doubler.
Yeah, so it's half Sweet Home Alabama and half Werewolves of London, isn't it?
Yeah, which is an interesting mix anyway. I mean, I get it musically, but thematically they're different songs.
Yeah. But it's like someone went, oh, let's do a cover of Sweet Home Alabama. And then someone in the studio went, do you know what? I've always thought that the riff from Sweet Home Alabama sounds quite like Werewolves of London. And they thought, yeah, it does. Let's put them both in. And it's just like, why would you? It's like a weird mashup cover version.
And then add in Kid Rock, who would be on my long list of dicks for the island, because he's just a dick.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never met him, I've never worked with him, but I've seen enough of his personality to know that he ain't putting that on. He is just generally an arsehole. So, yeah, it's one of those that, despite yourself, you'd be dancing along to if it was on the radio, and then you'd be like, oh, crap, it's that one. It's not my fave, it's my least fave. Yeah. And that's you've just betrayed by it. It's Carib.
Yeah, yeah.
It is Carib. You're like, oh, yeah, Werewolves of... Oh, no, it's not Werewolves of London. How dare you, Kid Rock.
Two positives very much make a negative in this example, don't they? I mean, it's like you took two solid,
it's completely bastardized
and just ruined it.
Yeah.
Also, I've always thought this. So there's some really clunky bits in it when he's sort of going, "We didn't have no internet, but man, I never will forget." Blah blah blah. And I know the words because I work at a commercial music station, so I've heard it quite a lot. And then there's a bit where he's just talking about making love by the lake all summer long. And that sounds nice in a song. But if I'm going for a nice stroll by the lake with my family and I see Kid Rock humping away on the banks, it's just not appropriate. It's like, you kind of, there's this nice sort of like, trying to give this idea of like a sort of, I don't know, oh, remember summers when we were young, carefree, no internet, just having sex outdoors. You know, yeah, but it's not when you were young, Kid Rock. Stop shagging that woman now, because like my kid's seen that now, and I've got to explain all sorts of things. All the bing in the world won't distract him from that.
Also, midges.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's, I don't know, I just, it's a shit song.
Yeah, it's everything and nothing all at once.
Mm.
And it doesn't tell it, it's just the worst. It is just the worst, because I'd spent quite a long time thinking, when you look at lists of what's been voted the worst number one and all that sort of stuff, I've been looking at going, banger, 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 banger. Love that one. Know all the lyrics to that one, even if it's in an ironic karaoke way. But this song's just disrespectful.
It feels like, you know, when you're on holiday and you don't quite know your way around yet, and someone recommends somewhere and you walk in and they've seen you before there's time to walk out, and it's like a Western themed bar, and you know, I'm not even in America, but I'm in this weird sort of saloon in Gran Canaria or something, and they're making me do really bright coloured shots, and I'm like, it's only 2 p.m. Yeah. And that's playing, isn't it, on a loop. It's that sort of like Coyote Ugly aesthetic of just sort of like fake cowboy redneck kind of vibes, which nobody asked for, but for some reason we have to put up with.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been to Gran Canaria, but I know that bar.
Yeah.
I feel like I know. I feel like there's one everywhere.
Yeah, like everything is sticky. You know, like, why is everything sticky?
Yeah, I think I went to that bar in Barnet.
Yeah, I think it's there too.
There's one. It was really weird, and there's nobody in there because it was 2 p.m. afternoon. But they were still going for that aesthetic, and I'm pretty sure there was some Kid Rock going on.
Yeah, it's always 2 p.m. in Kid Rock land. okay, and finally, the island is overrun by the biggest dick of all the animals. Which animal is it, and why?
This I had no qualms about. There was no debate for me on this.
Okay, what's it going to be?
Sloths.
A sloth?
Sloths are the worst. I want to do a whole podcast series about just, I could talk for hours about how I hate sloths.
Right. Well, is it particularly, because I feel like they've had quite a resurgence recently. You know, like every now and again, there's like a little emoji or like stuffed toy that becomes popular. And you see them on like Instagram stickers and stuff. I think I feel like sloths have become quite cute these days in people's minds.
Yeah. I said bring back llamas, because, sloths are, they're disgusting because they're covered in lichen and moss and disgustingness. And I have this really sneaking suspicion that they're all evil and they're fooling us. They're playing a very, very long game. They're not that slow. Those claws that they've got.
Oh, yeah, they're disgusting.
They could eviscerate a human very easily if they could be arsed.
Yeah.
Now, I think they're just biding the time. They've got those evil, beady little eyes. I think I was traumatized as a child. I had a book of animals, and I'd never heard of a sloth before, never seen a sloth. And I opened this page with this just those staring, creepy little eyes and that weird flat face. And I've never liked them ever since. I am actually phobic about them.
Yeah.
I will hate it when someone posts a picture of a sloth, even a toy sloth. They're just disgusting. Went to Chester Zoo with my family, and to get to the jaguars, you had to pass underneath the sloth area.
Oh.
Like, literally, there were sloths overhead. Because I love jaguars so much, I went through, but I had to go with my eyes closed, and my little nephew had to lead me by the hand so I didn't trip over anything. It was very, very embarrassing. But I got to see the jaguars, but I was not comfortable with the knowledge that they were nearby. I do have this really fear that they've got on so long pretending to be gentle and cute and all that sort of stuff. And then given half a chance, if they got close enough to me, because they hate me so much, they will kill me. They will rip me to shreds. They will tear out my innards and torture me, because they're just evil. Look at the little faces. Yeah. And also, yeah, if you can't be arsed to get out of the tree, to even move, so you get mossy and mouldy, that's just disgusting.
Yeah, I mean,
and they're so stupid that they will, I think once a week, they'll get out of the tree to defecate.
Mm.
And that's, like, why? Just poo from up there. You're already gross.
Yeah.
And that's when predators get them. That's just really stupid. Yeah. Don't do it, man.
It's
just
so
don't
weird.
Do it.
Yeah, I think because they're one of those animals that look a bit like they're smiling. Their sort of resting face. They kind of look, yeah, they've got a sort of little, like, goofy face, haven't they? But, yeah, the claws are disgusting. If you sort of look at the coat where it's all just, yeah, full of moss and crap, I mean, that's not pleasant. You think of us as a human equivalent. I mean, it's pretty nasty. They look a bit like, because they move so slowly and deliberately, they always look a little bit like they're sort of being controlled by someone. So if I can imagine them just all being models, and it turns out that, you know, as soon as you walk past them, their eyes go red and they're actually cameras. You know what I mean? They look very animatronic because they move. Yeah. You know, like pandas all look like a human in a suit. That it's really hard to believe they're their own thing and someone isn't controlling them.
Yeah. I'm absolutely with you on this. Mm. They look like they were invented by somebody fairly recently and they're all out there, and we're now in the stage where they're lulling us into a false sense of security.
Mm.
And we all just think they're adorable, and we, you know, they're getting more popular and they're going to be in every country, in every zoo, and then someone flicks the switch back at the evil lair.
Yeah.
And, we're all dead.
And also on the island, I mean, even if it's overrun with them and it's a food source, it can't be nice to eat when it's...
No.
I mean, they've just sat around and there's all that crap all over them and they probably stink.
Yeah, they're just rancid. They'd be absolutely disgusting. I hate snakes and I hate spiders. I do have phobias of them, but they are vital to an ecosystem. Mm. I can see their place in the world. What good is a sloth? It's not contributing anything, and I probably wouldn't eat them anyway because I'd be too scared to hunt them down. Unless Joey Essex ain't doing it.
No. Might give Tony Stark something to occupy himself with. He can shoot them with lasers, but he'd probably like more of a challenge. He'd probably like some really big game, so he wouldn't go for the sloths because they'd be too easy. Yeah. So
he'd be weaponizing them, which is even worse.
Yeah,
I think there would be some sort of rift on our island, and it would be a civil war situation. it'd be me and Bing versus those lot.
Oh, Joey Essex would pick have on a your side. Team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I'd drown him.
Fair enough.
We're on an island. There'd be an accident.
Well, I think it's a fine final addition to your horrendous looking island. So you've done a very good job today. Thank you very much for coming on, Jenny. And where's the best place to sort of catch up with what you're up to at the minute?
We have got new episodes of The Chase at 5 p.m. on ITV and STV every weekday. And my podcast, which I host with Lucy Porter and which you've guested on, Fingers on Buzzers, all about quizzing and quiz shows and nostalgia and learning lovely new facts and having a bit of a laugh, is it's Fingers on Buzzers, and it's available wherever you're listening to this.
Lovely. Well, thank you very much again for coming on. That was superb. So thank you again.
Cheers.